Okay, good morning, everybody. Praise the Lord. Okay, wow. Great, you may be seated. I have a book written by an Indian, Cheryl Travasso, who wrote a book during COVID and took little pieces of information and wrote little devotionals, and I have one here. The International Space Station is located about 260 miles above the Earth and orbits our planet. In September 2020, the station had to make an emergency avoidance maneuver in order to avoid being hit by flying debris that passed within several kilometers of the station. At a high velocity, even a small piece of debris can do much damage. And then she comments, so many things we listen to or scroll through on social media can be classified as debris. All right, turn to your neighbor and say amen. Okay, so there's a lot of debris in life. Then she says, they encourage unnecessary covetousness, envy, jealousy, and harm the listener or reader, to the listener or reader. So we need to consciously take ourselves out of the way of this kind of flying debris. Last week, we preached on and taught on sanctification, and I want to do that again this morning and guide you into thinking about how we actually live our Christian life in a world where there is a lot of debris, things that are said that provoke us, ideas that are erroneous, and just plain wrong. And then the Holy Spirit being so good and gracious to us to sanctify us that we would actually be increasing with the increase that comes from God. So that's our subject. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. And we each use this text. We'll move around a little bit, but I'd like to stay here in 2 Peter. Maybe it'd be good to move around right now in our Bible and look at a couple, Romans 4, and we can put that on the screen, Romans 4, 16. Weren't we impressed with Pastor Love's golf game this morning?
Yes, sir.
Yeah? Wow, he's working on it. He improved since last year. Okay. Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. So I'll put down here faith. That it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure, promise might be sure to all the seed, to that only, to not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So we have three words here that are very common in our vocabulary. We were saved by grace. God has given us promise. He promised us a new covenant. And our role is to believe. We trust. We believe. This is the way you got saved, was by hearing the gospel, the promise of God's love for us, his death, the atonement of Christ, the blood of Christ, atoning for our sin, and then the grace of God given to us, and our role is simply to believe. I have sinned. What should I do? Believe in the promise. What kind of promise? The promise of God's grace. What do? I simply believe. It's repeated many ways. This life that we now live is very similar to when we first got saved. It's the same message. I was a sinner. Three things about it. Romans 5. I was without strength. You can put that up on the screen, Romans 5, 6. I was also, I was without strength. I sinned. I was a sinner, verse 8. And then I was an enemy, enemies of God, verse 10. So this is verse 6. The sequence is interesting. It gets worse. Not only was I without strength, but I was dead in my sins. Not only was I dead in my sins, but I was an enemy of God. All of us as sinners. In that condition, God gave us promise. He gave us grace. And then we believed. He even gave us faith. We have a portion of faith given to us. We read that in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 and 4. We all have a measure of faith. This is a great gospel that as I receive Christ, if we took a photo of this teaching here of who I was before I was a believer, here I am. I'm brought to the cross, I am a sinner, and there it is. And take a snapshot of that. We see grace, I'm a sinner, I have been given grace, I am believing. And this is not only how I was saved, but it's also how I live now. I live the same way. I live the same way. I want to show that to you in Colossians 2 and verse 6. Turn with me there, please. Verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, as you have received him. So this is my past, when I received him, I was born again. As I have received him, so I walk with him in the same way. It goes like this. Take a photograph of my salvation, like a little, you know, here I am, born again. And how did I receive him? So I walk with him, actually, the same principles. Faith, grace, promise. Faith, grace, promise. This is what happens to believers. Are you following it with me? You got to really pay attention here. This is what believers do. They get saved by grace. Take a snapshot. Then how do they live? They live by works. They improve their life, and now they're thinking of how my life can get better, how I earn my salvation, how I am improving my life so that I am increasing, improving my Christian life based on my efforts, my work, my good intentions. And this is where it gets confusing. That sanctification becomes something that it's kind of more about me. It's more about me, my prayers, my dedication, my goodwill, my effort, my sincerity. And it kind of clouds out the fact that I am a sinner saved by grace, living by faith in promise. I am a sinner saved by grace, living by faith in promise. And I'm growing. This is a beautiful thing, is that this picture here, I am living by faith in the grace of God who gave it to me by promise, and I am finding my life having joy and peace and self-control and an increase in understanding and a growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, not in my self-life. Now watch, this is written in Galatians 3, verses 1 to 6. The same thing. What I just said to you is written in those verses. We better just take a quick look at it for your Sunday afternoon Bible reading. When you leave church today, you might say, what was that part in Galatians 3? I'm going to take a look at it. Verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been set forth, evidently crucified among you. This only would I learn. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? There it is again. Watch. What's he saying? How did you receive? By the hearing of faith. What was the message? Grace. How did you live? By faith in his promise. By faith in his promise. Should I continue to live based on this gospel and be sanctified by God and his grace and growing in the grace and giving the grace and learning about grace and living by faith? But you have changed, verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? Have you gone now to the law and living by the flesh? Yes, that happens. But now we go to our text in 2 Peter. And one more subpoint, 2 Corinthians 7:1. Where are we? 2 Corinthians 7:1, yes. Are you all right following it with me? Are you with me? Okay. I want to make it relevant. There is debris. It's coming up. There is debris in life, but you have a wheel within the wheel, the gyroscope. Somebody bought me a gyroscope this past week. I have it in my office. I got it spinning. I put it on the desk, and I touched the top to move it. It was very tough. That gyroscope kept vertical. Yeah, it was, as that wheel with it was spinning inside, it was not easy to push it over. You actually can't in one way. You just knock the whole thing over, and it's over. But that wheel within the wheel is like our faith that we live by faith. It's the spirit. Yeah, it's the mind. It's the heart. It's our new life. So that'll keep the debris away. Or when we get hit with debris, it doesn't knock us out of the race. When we get hit with our problems in life, we're able to stand. Guys, we are being sanctified. Look at 2 Corinthians 7:1. And we have, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Well, there is the word ourselves, myself. I am cleansing myself. How would I cleanse myself? What is that? Verse 1. From all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us. Receive us. Paul wanted the Corinthians to have a reestablished relationship with him as the apostle and his ministry, because he had found and was worried, and he had reason to worry about it, that some of the Corinthians were drifting away from Paul, drifting away from his ministry. And he was saying, don't drift away from me, but draw near to God, and when we draw near to God, we will be drawing near to each other. We will have church life. We will have spiritual life. We will have encouragement. Why would I go to the church? Because the wheel inside that new heart and the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, that new creation by the grace of God, by its very nature, is connected with Christ. Christ vertically and Christ horizontally. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ who dwells in the body of Christ, in the church. Now, yesterday we went to Richmond, Virginia, 2 carloads, and we, Jesse Fires was the leader of the group, and Bible college students, and we were out on the street. We went to a park. We sang. We preached out there. I was so impressed with the students and the body members sharing out on the street, and it was such a joy. And we drive back together, and I was just thanking God, and we had fellowship together. And I'm saying the church. The Church of Christ is such a powerful reality, and what it is. It is our joy. It is a protection from the debris that comes in life. It's the guidance for the inner life. It's the walk of faith. It's the way that we are edified. It's how we somehow we are being cleansed. We are drinking the same Spirit. We are being encouraged. And so we were telling the people that we were meeting, we're starting a church in Richmond. We're going there every other week, and then we're going for, we call it Richmond 31. 31 days in Richmond this summer in July. We'll be there every day, like rotating groups and rotating people and going down to minister and to see Jesus Christ do his work and speak to hearts and disciple and love and teach and care and be encouraged in it. Now, go with me to 2 Peter, and this is our text. And it is speaking for itself, 2 Peter 1, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. What kind of promises are they? Exceeding great and precious promises. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, Christ in us, having escaped. In the Greek, it says escape completely. You got out of corruption. That word corruption is, there's two ways. Sometimes corruption is thought of as immediate and drastic and dramatic. But this word doesn't mean that. It means gradual corruption. It's like a bacteria that is growing like over a period of time, or rottenness in a piece of fruit maybe just gradually inside, we've all seen it, the brown spot increases over the week, and the apple is of no value. It's been corrupted. So in this world, there are people that are being corrupted gradually and slowly, and they cannot find their way out. That's why we have a lot of mercy and grace toward people, because they don't actually know what is happening in their life. But it goes like by little in time, where they make bad decisions, and it's in their hearts. And you don't see it on the outside, but it's there working its way. It's a corruption which we have escaped completely. Completely? That's the meaning. The meaning is that we have a divine nature that has allowed us to escape completely from the corruption that is happening in this world. It means that when you're older in life, you can be as free as a child. You're clean. You are free. You have found grace. You live by faith. You live by faith and promise. It isn't really something you give yourself credit for. It's something that has been happening in your life. Your sanctification is a very real power that is taking place in your life. You are being sanctified by God. You are being kept by God in a world that has a lot of flying debris going on. Okay? Verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence. Now this word, this is like in a great effort I have here in my notes, this meaning here of this great effort. I want to get it right. Here they are. Okay. It means, it expresses the idea of bringing in every effort we are to bring into this relationship with God alongside what God has done. We have every ounce of determination we can muster to add. The idea of adding or supplying is complete, the complete supply. It means also further supplies. It means to provide more than was expected or could be demanded. It means to give lavishly. I am thinking about how this is not my efforts in my flesh. This is a result of the Spirit moving in our hearts and touching us, like in the assembly, as we see when we ride in a car with a brother or a sister, or as we think about doing something in the city of Baltimore, or in the case that I mentioned in the city of Richmond, Virginia. What we are giving our hearts to, or even we could say it in every area of life, in our family life. Let's read what we are adding, verse 5. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Virtue is used in the Greek, and there are different versions of how the word is used, but we have also the whole idea of heroism, of in a military sense of doing something extraordinary. that we have this kind of courage inside. Verse 5, we add to our faith virtue, and then we add to virtue knowledge, increasing in knowledge, increasing in the knowledge of my Bible, increasing in the knowledge of people, increasing in the knowledge of the gospel, increasing in the grace of God. Verse 6, into knowledge, temperance. That word means self-control. I like this piece here. Holding himself in self-control. Holding himself in. One of the subjects in the car yesterday was about our health. We talked about discipline because we were riding with some folks that were they are athletic. And I asked questions about discipline and also about our culture and how we're not physically moving like we used to. We sit at our computers, we sit at home, we work from home, some folks do. Not moving, not walking around, not feeling our health. Maybe becoming indifferent and passive and so on. And I want to use that physical idea with our mental effort. What I want to entertain in my mind, what I want to think about, what I want to talk about. It shouldn't be just a kind of passive indifference in my Christian life. I'm a Christian. Okay. Turn that channel off and go to another channel, or you with your remote. Just change your channel. You know, I am a Christian. Now I just go to work. I go to work, and now I just come home. And it's like, no, it's a lot more fun than that. It's so much so engaging. It is so great to be involved with virtue, knowledge, be increasing in our faith. It's so great to have control over yourself and to say, no, no, I'm not doing that. I don't do that. No, I don't care about that. That's flying debris. And I'm able to keep this internal life and relationship with God as being real and genuine and something I enjoy, something that's part of my life, my way of thinking. I'm able to control myself. Wow, that's good. What do you mean control yourself? I mean the Holy Spirit gave us everything we need. Well, how do you live then? I go to this little picture here. Well, how was it? This one. As we have received him, we walk in the same grace that saved us with promise, with grace, and with faith. That's how we now live. That's how it works. But wait a minute. There's a good portion here. Those that do not do it, they do not do it. Oh, this is good. Those Christians that do not do what I am saying, they do not have it. Those Christians that are not involved, they just say, I got saved. Thank God. Well, do you know anything from the Bible? I don't know anything about the Bible. Do you say your prayer? Yes, I say my prayers at night and in the morning. But I don't know anything about nothing more. So what happens to them? Look at it with me. Verse 7 and 8, into godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. That's called body life. We are adding to godliness, brotherly kindness. I don't want to go to church because it's filled with hypocrites. Why don't you go to church and change it? Why don't you go to church and serve? Why don't you go to church and find grace? Why don't you find a church where there's a life with promise and grace and faith? Why don't you go to the church and learn something? Why don't you go by faith? Why not make a faith decision? Why not just say, I'm going to go, I'm going to learn about prayer, and I'm going to learn about prayer and live by faith. And I'm going to say prayers of faith. Why not? Verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We had a barbecue yesterday in Richmond at a brother's house. It was a joy to be with him and his life, and he shared about his life and turning away from Christ and then coming back to Christ and how much he needs it. And it was so good to hear him and to be with him. What a precious brother. And I think of so many people that need what we're talking about. In verse 8, it says, if these things be in you and abound, you are not barren nor unfruitful. Verse 9, here comes the bad news. But he that lacks these things is blind. I have the word there, blind. It is eyes partially closed, maybe because of being sleepy, maybe because of an eye disease. We don't know why. But he's part blind, like partially. Maybe he can see shadows or he can see close up, but he cannot see far away. He just has a general idea that he's alive. Yeah, he can see some things moving, but he really cannot see very far. How far can you see? How far can you see? Isn't that a good question? What does it mean in Christ that we are walking in the light and we're able to see? What does that mean? But oh, so many times we are short-sighted. We cannot see further than our bank account, further than our age maybe. We cannot see further than our circumstances. We cannot see beyond our prison time in Egypt like Joseph. Or see beyond the cross. When Christ is dying, he could not. He could see 3 days later he would be raised from the dead. And he knew it was 3 days. Why did he know it was 3 days? Why? Because he said, as Jonah was in the fish for 3 days, so the Son of Man, he knew that he would be raised up in Psalm 16. Why did Christ know so much? Because that's what God does to you. Because when you live with God, you get to see things. God is filled with eyes. In the book of Revelation, we see the creatures that are around the throne that are filled with eyes. How many eyes do you have? Do you have one or half of an eyesight? Or a two? Blurry vision? Or maybe seven? The seven spirits of God are before the throne. The seven things that describe Christ in Isaiah in chapter 61. The Spirit of God in our life so that we can see. Now watch, when I am blind, what happens? Look at verse 9. But he that lacks these things is blind. Is he a Christian? Yes, he's a blind Christian. He cannot see afar off. And he has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. He has forgotten that he has been forgiven of his old sins. What do you think that means? I think he reiterates in his mind how unworthy he is. He rehearses in his mind how he cannot do it. He cannot live the Christian life. He reiterates in his mind how bad he is. He reiterates in his mind all kinds of things. I do not read my Bible. I do not go to a church. I have the sins and the bad things that I have done in the past, and I may even be doing them now, and I wish my life was better. I met some spirit-filled Christians, and I am amazed I could never live like them. What has happened to him? He cannot see it because he's not doing what this is saying. Richly adding to his life faith, richly adding knowledge, learning grace, living in faith, making faith decisions. He is not gaining and increasing in his understanding. He is not learning and growing in the nature of God. He doesn't have the increase. He doesn't have body life. He doesn't have the encouragement. He doesn't know the grace of God. But who are you and I? As I received him, the same thing, we walk in him with the same understanding. That I am unworthy, but he gave me his grace. I love the grace. I love the love. I walk by faith in him, and I am trusting in God. I am not a perfect man, but when I sin, I confess it and I isolate it. It is over. It is covered. I am not rehearsing it. I am not thinking of my old sins. They are purged. They are not in my eyesight anymore. I do not see my sin. I am purged of my sin, and I can see it far off. I see it much more. I see how good God is and what can happen to people that live by faith in him. So now we go out to share our love, and we are kind and understanding. And I'll close with this. I met a young man. Wow, it's late. Okay. I met this young man. He was 18 years old. And stopped him in the street. And I said, I've got a Bible verse for you. I handed him a Bible verse. I said, this is not a Chinese fortune cookie paper. This is a Bible verse. So it was on a piece of paper. And he read it. And I said, yeah, do you have a lot of friends? You're 18 years old. Do you have a lot of friends? He said, yeah, I have some friends. I said, are they Christians? He said, some of them are. Are you? Yes, I am. Okay. So we had a few words, and I said, maybe you could learn how to help them in their faith. You could learn how to help your friends find more and enjoy the Christian life. So we said goodbye. He went for a run. About a half an hour later, he comes back to me running. He's all sweaty. And he goes, what denomination are you? And we had another little talk. And he's like, I believe that all we have to do is talk to people from that point of view where you are victorious. And it sows a seed. And you encourage them in their faith. And because everybody wants to see afar off. I want to see beyond our country, beyond our problems, beyond the disasters that we see, the trouble, the debris of life. I want to see beyond jealousy and envy and fear. I want to see beyond hatred. And that this is a time of love. It's a time of faith, a time of promise, and a time of grace. That's the life we have. Okay? Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, I just pray this would be ministering to us and useful because it is your word. Your word is a hammer, a sword, a fire. Anyone listening this morning that you haven't started your spiritual journey by putting your trust in Christ, do it today. Without him, we are lost. Without him, we must be born of the Spirit. And say to Jesus, come into my life In Christ's name, I pray. Anyone in the auditorium saying that prayer, just put your hand up, please, and the ushers will give you a booklet. Anyone at all? Anybody at all? Amen.